Cryptocurrency News, where you get the news, not financial advice. In this episode, we're looking at Bitcoin as a big short. That's correct. Is it possible that Bitcoin could be a big short? Now, we got this article from thebusinessinsider.com, written by Theron Mohammed. The title says, Big Short Investor Michael Burry Slams Bitcoin as a Speculative Bubble and Says Crash is Coming. Continues, it says, Michael Burry described Bitcoin as a speculative bubble. The big short investor grouped it with electric vehicles, SaaS, and meme stocks. He compared the boom in those assets to the dot-com and housing bubbles. And then it goes on, it says, Bitcoin's price has surged to unsustainable levels, and buyers have taken on dangerous amounts of debt, Michael Burry cautioned in a recent tweet. Quote, it says, $BTC is a speculative bubble that poses more risk than opportunity, despite most other proponents being correct in their arguments for why it is relevant at this point in history, the investor wrote before deleting the tweet. Now, that I don't understand. If you're going to tweet something, go ahead and stand by it. If it's controversial, it's controversial. If that's what he believes, then he should put his feelings out there and then give us the reasons why he believes that. And then other people can come back and talk to him why they think that this may or may not be true. Now, personally, not financial advice, of course, but it seems to me as though he has really thrown Bitcoin in with a bunch of varied topics. We're talking electric vehicles. We're talking this whole software business, the meme stocks. It seems like, how could Bitcoin be all things to all people when it comes to scams? I don't see it that way. Most people are investing in Bitcoin. Some people are investing because of speculation. But then you have a lot of people, a lot of the big institutional investors talking about Elon Musk or talking about the hedge funds. They're coming out and saying, listen, we're not worried about trying to make a ton of money on this investment. We're trying to preserve our capital. And right now we're losing our capital through inflation with fiat. So this is an alternative to fiat inflation. So I'm not seeing him address that here. The article goes on and says, quote, if you do not know how much leverage is involved in the run-up, you may not know enough to own it, he added. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting point. He's telling us there's a lot of borrowed money being used to buy Bitcoin. Well, personally, I don't know how much is being borrowed to buy Bitcoin. Why don't you tell us, Mr. Burry? And then we could all make our own decision about whether or not we think Bitcoin is overvalued. We do know a lot of borrowed money is being used in the stock market. That happens all the time. We also know that the U.S. Fed has printed money and then taken, well, not actually physically printed, but created digital fiat and used that digital newly minted fiat from things such as the recent stimulus package for the whole COVID-19 thing to buy stock. They're a big holder in what used to be known as what, Yellow Cab, the trucking company. But and you could go down through example after example after that. So if you want to talk about inflation, if you want to talk about borrowed money, well, let's talk about created money. Let's talk about when the Federal Reserve just creates money out of thin air and then uses that money to compete with people in the stock market or to prop up the stock market. I don't see the Federal Reserve creating fiat to go out and buy Bitcoin. If they are, they're being very quiet about it. Burry is best known for his billion-dollar bet on housing market crash in mid-2000s, chronicled in the book and the movie The Big Short. Well, let's talk about that for 1 second. What happened prior to 2008 with the housing crash? You know, you didn't have to be Mr. Burry. You didn't have to be Mr. Buffett. You didn't even have to be a real student of economics. You only needed a little common sense to realize that when loans were being written to people who were working minimum wage jobs, those folks were being written loans for $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for first, even second homes, under the contingency that they had to make a balloon payment down the road in a couple years. So the guy's making $9 an hour today, and he's got an adjusted mortgage, or maybe the payment's $100 a month. But in 2 years' time, that payment's going to pop up to, say, $1,100 or $2,200 a month. Was he magically going to get 8 more hamburger flipping jobs to make up the difference? You see, it didn't take a mathematician or a genius to see that was fraud. That was pure and simple fraud to believe that somebody making $9 an hour or $10 an hour could afford a $300,000 house, or in some cases, 2 or 3 houses, all on borrowed money. That's a completely different situation than a guy who's going to work 9 to 5 who decides to take a little bit of his money, go on Coinbase, and maybe buy some Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, whether it's Ethereum or Bitcoin Cash or whatever. Totally different deal. Now, you could say the guy buying the cryptocurrency is speculating. Every investment is speculation to some degree. But that's completely different than making a commitment on a payment plan that is going to be impossible, I mean impossible, for you to fulfill. This is a total lack of governance by the federal government, taking our taxpayer money, lending it out to folks for houses they couldn't possibly afford. And it was all, a lot of it was based around this whole notion of this adjusted payments, the balloon payment. Pay a little now and then a big amount down the road. One of the oldest scams in the book. It goes on, it says, in a tweet on Saturday, the Skion asset management chief compared the hype around Bitcoin, electric vehicles, software as a service company, and meme stocks like GameStop and AMC to the housing and dot-com bubbles. Once again, I think he's completely missed the boat here. I don't know a lot about the software service company, so I'm not going to comment on it too much. But he's comparing some kind of an idea of a business to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is simply viewed as a store value, with the possibility that its value could increase as fiats go to zero. That's the whole concept of Bitcoin. That's why you saw people rush into Bitcoin after the election. When they saw that Trump wasn't going to do his job and make sure that elections were secure, then they realized there was going to be one party and one party only. And then when you had a president who frequently asked, "Where am I?" people started to get a little bit scared. And you can just look at the calendar when this thing started to go up. As people saw these stimulus packages come down and government spending explode, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars being borrowed and sent overseas for no good reason. We don't even know where that stuff goes at. The Federal Reserve creating fiat so they can buy stocks. They can pick winners and losers. The average person's inclination is to not see that as a fair or sustainable situation. They're looking for any alternative. And so they did what made sense to them. They bought Bitcoin and they bought a lot of it. That's different than choosing a software company. It's different than overvaluing an electric vehicle company. Elon Musk, what did he make? $750 million last year in credits from the federal government? If you own a car company and you don't make enough electric vehicles, you got to pay Elon Musk a tax. That's the federal government going in and picking winners and losers. That's not what Bitcoin's doing. Bitcoin is in defiance of the federal government, of fiat, of all these organized outfits. Bitcoin's about a complete democratization and competition of currencies. I don't know how you compare Bitcoin to Tesla. And then he says meme stocks, like GameStop and AMC. Man, he's missed a boat here. Did the guy read the paper? What happened with GameStop? Well, it was shorted because people, a lot of the hedge fund experts said, listen, man, no one's going to be going in here and buying these video games or renting them. They're going to do it online. Well, that's probably true. I mean, I could see that. That's what happened with like Blockbuster Video, right? Or a lot of these little chain videos around. People, not enough people. Some people still want to, sure. But not enough people rented the videos from the store. They do it online, so they went broke. So they're like, okay, we're going to short the stock. Well, you know, when you got these billions of dollars wrapped up in these hedge funds and they're shorting a tiny little stock, that's like a flock of buzzards trying to eat one rabbit. There wasn't enough roadkill there. So what happened? When you short a stock, you got to borrow that stock, right? Well, it turns out, from what I've read, like 1.3 or 1.5 of the stock had been borrowed. So they actually borrowed more stock than existed. They borrowed more stock to short than actually existed. That sounds like fraud to me. I don't know how you borrow something that doesn't exist. Can I come borrow your car if you don't have a car? Well, at the same time that was going on, some people noticed this and they said, well, at some point they got to pay that stock back. And if they've borrowed 130 or 150% of the stock, and I have some of that stock, and you know, even if they get 100% back, they're still looking for 30% more. They're not going to be able to get it all back. We're going to be able to put the screws to these guys. We're going to hold that stock until it explodes. We're going to make them pay through the nose. Yeah, we're going to buy that stock. They're going to have to borrow from me, and I'm going to make them pay, baby. The little guy is going to make them pay. At the same time that was happening, you had some true believers out there saying, GameStop's going to the moon. It's got fundamentals. It can do it. And this crazy vortex occurred where the stock price began to go up and people began to buy. From what I've read, they were buying for two different reasons. Some people were buying because they truly believed the stock was going to go up. And some people bought because they wanted to get a hold of that limited supply of stock and have it in their hands when these hedge funds are going to be forced to buy it back at any price to settle the contracts. And so what happened? Well, they had to buy that stock back, and that stock went to the moon. And some people made a lot of money. And you heard about Nancy Pelosi being so angry. Well, maybe she knew the hedge fund manager that lost the money. You see what's going on? You see the common strain here? The common strain going through this stuff is fraud. Somebody borrowed stock they didn't have. Somebody borrowed money on a house that they couldn't possibly pay back. And the person that wrote that mortgage should have known that. Probably knew that. Put this person in a spot where they were in an impossible spot to pay back something they owed. Whether it was a homeowner that maybe ignorantly put themselves there because they were unsophisticated, or the hedge fund that was blinded by greed that put themselves into a spot where they almost couldn't pay something back, and it cost them lots and lots of money. Money which happened to go to small investors. That's just a market correcting itself. That's a market doing what it does. That's the market. That's what I say all the time. That's money finding its own level. And that's the only commonality this thing has with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is money finding its own level. It's finding its own price, what people think it's worth. Now, it could go to $1,000 tomorrow if something happens and people suddenly find a flaw in Bitcoin or get scared and sell off. Who knows? Who knows what tomorrow holds? But that's a different thing than fraud. That's a different thing than the government stepping in and creating winners and losers. A totally different thing. He could say, I don't like Bitcoin because I don't see that it has any real utility. Well, some people say that. Some people say it's simply a digital alternative to gold. You can agree or disagree with that. Goes on, it says, in a tweet Saturday, the Skion Asset Management Chief compared the hype around Bitcoin, electric vehicle software as a service companies, and meme stocks like GameStop and AMC to the housing and dot-com bubble. Fads today, it says, BTC, EV, SAAS, meme stocks are like housing in 2007. No, I could not disagree with more of that. This is not like housing in 2007. In 2007, you had thousands of mortgage writers, thousands of bankers conspire to saddle unsophisticated borrowers with huge debts in loans structured as balloon payments. Pay $100 a month for the next 12 months, and month 13 comes along, you owe me $1,000 a month. Knowing how on earth is a guy working at McDonald's going to be able to make that payment in 13 months? But you wrote him the loan anyway. You wrote him the loan anyway. No one's forcing these people to buy Bitcoin. They're doing this under their own fruition, okay? There's no counterparty fraud going on here. It's just people watching the internet, watching TV, reading the news, getting scared about what's going on and saying, you know what? I want to have a little bit of that. Now, they could be wrong. They could be right. But it's a completely different thing than what happened in 2007, in my opinion. It says, the enormous buzz isn't entirely unfounded, Burry said, but he doesn't expect it to last. On the whole, not wrong, just driven by speculative fever to insane heights from which the fall will be dramatic and painful, he said. Burry doubled down on his bearish stance in other tweets last week. He says, those saying me and Munger and Singer are so out of touch, we are not considering that we have seen all this before and not just once, he said, referring to recent warnings about market speculation from Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's business partner, and the hedge fund billionaire Paul Singer. The market is dancing on a knife's edge, he said in another tweet. Well, I'm not sure he's put himself in there with really great company. I don't know. Go back and see how much money these guys have made in the last year. I'm not sure if they're doing as well as Max Kaiser did in his Bitcoin. I'll tell you what I see here. Not financial advice, but what I see is a paradigm shifting. We're shifting into the digital age. And so much more of this stuff, you know, with the COVID-19 reaction, not the COVID itself, but the reaction of that COVID, where you took all these people out of these business offices and you let them work out of their houses. What you found was that you could do an awful lot of work from home. You did not need to have skyscrapers full of thousands and thousands of people pushing papers all day. People can do that same amount of work from home. And they can probably do it in a lot less time, a lot more efficiently. And I think you're seeing the same thing happen here. The cryptocurrency market, in my opinion, is simply a reflection of what's happening. Our whole economy, our whole society, our way of life is being digitized. You can't get away from it. And they're going to take every possible thing they can and shift it from a piece of paper to a computer chip. As far as I can see, cryptocurrency is just part of that. And if you can do that, and you can keep this thing in a democratized form and a transparent and accountable form, what is so wrong with it? But I like the article for the simple fact, and I have total respect for Mr. Burry for what he exposed with the mortgage crisis. But I think he's conflating a lot of different things here. As I said, there's a difference between pure speculation and fraud. At worst case scenario, Bitcoin blows up. Then what is it? What is it simply but tulip mania? A completely different thing than what happened with the housing crisis, or we should say the housing loan crisis. A completely different thing than what's happening right now with the Federal Reserve creating fiat money so that they can affect the stock market. A completely different thing. Bitcoin, for all its insufficiencies, is creating an alternative to that. And that's why people are drawn to it. An alternative to a fiat currency, which historically we know all fiat currencies go to zero. The dollar bill in your pocket is worth about 3% of what it was when it came out in 1917. So the thing has already lost 97% of its value. And people are saying, what could possibly go wrong with Bitcoin? I know I'm going to lose 97%, and it's going to continue to lose value until it hits zero. That's what all paper currency does. And they look at the metals market, and they see silver and gold stacked against them so hard that it can't find a true price. So maybe they'll buy a little bit on the side. But then they see Bitcoin, and they can log on to their phone or their computer, and they can snag a little bit just to have it for a rainy day. That's a completely different thing than walking into a brokerage office for a home loan. When you know full well you make $9 or $10 an hour, and you take out a loan that in 13 months is going to require an income of $70,000 or $80,000 a year. A completely different thing. You're not borrowing Bitcoin on borrowed money with the balloon payment due. And that's what he's suggesting when he says, if people knew how leveraged it was. Well, if he knows how leveraged it is, then please tell us. Then please let us in on the secret. Until next time, this is your cryptocurrency news, not financial advice.